It's almost spring, and as we always say, buds out, suds out. To celebrate spring cleaning season, we're bringing you one of our favorite episodes. Dust off your spray bottle and spray down your duster. We're tackling your clean-spiracies.
Hey, Flora, this is Teresa. I'm calling from San Francisco, California, and I had a question. On a recent episode, you mentioned you went into a thrift store and it had that general thrift store smell. What is that thrift store smell?
Hi, this is Teresa.
Hey, Teresa, it's Flora.
Hey, Flora.
Are you a big thrifter?
I am somewhat of a thrifter.
A little thrifter?
I like to browse. I don't always buy.
Uh-huh.
I was a thrifter back in like high school to get like the funny t-shirts, you know,
mm-hmm.
but like very rarely would I get like jeans or something from a thrift store.
Cowboy
personally.
Boots.
Cowboy, no shoes, definitely no shoes. Cowboy boots, red cowboy boots.
Describe the smell in question.
I walk into a thrift store and I smell what smells like decaying moldy clothes and potentially a little bit of stinky feet. Oh, also cigarette smoke, I feel like, is always present somehow.
Teresa, you are in luck today. We have someone with us in studio who investigated exactly what this smell is made of. This is Jolie Kerr. She writes a cleaning advice column and has a list of clean remedies longer than the warnings on a tub and tile cleaner.
Hi.
Hi, Jolie.
Hi, Teresa.
Jolie, anyone who has been to a thrift store knows this smell. It seems to be universal.
It is so universal. You could walk into a vintage clothing store in Boston, where I grew up. You can walk into one in New York, where I currently live. You could be in Oakland, California, and you'll smell the same smell. And I wanted to know why. What is that smell?
So how did you figure it out?
The first place that I went to was Procter & Gamble. They have technology in their labs that will analyze odor molecules and can distill out each individual odor molecule in any given garment. So I sent them a bundle of vintage clothing. They said, go out and buy some vintage clothing, Jolie, and try to find different fabrics, because different fabrics hold on to odors in different ways. So there was a mix of, I think there was a polyester blouse, there was a silk scarf.
Did you get any cowboy boots in there?
No cowboy boots in there.
Teresa, you want to guess what they found, like what smells were there?
Yeah, I would say something, I mean, obviously like body odor and maybe like cigarettes and maybe animal dander or something.
Okay, Jolie, hit us.
Definitely. All right. Well, listen, you're not that far off. So they identified 18 malodor molecules. Malodor is a technical term that we use in the industry for
stench,
bad smells, malodor, right? It makes sense. So there are 18 malodor molecules. Of the 18, 12 of them were derived from body soils, skin, sweat, and sebum. Sebum is the natural oil that our skin produces. So the vast majority of that vintage clothing smell comes from us.
Human bodies.
Human bodies, exactly. The remaining molecules came from environmental sources. Car exhaust, gasoline, dry cleaning solvents, food and perfume.
The car exhaust is fascinating.
Right. The first and sort of most obvious conclusion is that the clothes belong to someone who lived in a city where there is a heavy concentration of car exhaust. It could also be someone who worked with cars, either as a mechanic. There are all kinds of things that you could guess about this person's life based on molecules that were showing up on the clothes, which, as the scientists at Procter & Gamble described to me, offer a snapshot of the life that these clothes lived.
A record of lives lived and the skin of the body itself.
Indeed.
Teresa, what do you think? Is this surprising?
Not surprising, but actually what it's making me think of is that I'm thinking, like, this isn't specific to one person. It's making me think, like, this is what me and my clothes smell like, you know? Right? I don't know.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, I'm like, Is this what I smell like?
It is what you smell like. And I'll say it was the thing that I found comforting about this. It's actually what we all smell like.
Thank you, Teresa.
Yes, thank you.
Jolie, are you up for a couple other calls?
Yeah, sure.
We got an onslaught when we said we had a cleaning expert coming on.
Welcome to my world.
Our next cleaning question comes from listener Rachel. She needs your help, Jolie, mediating a marital dispute about freezing clothes.
Ooh, couples therapy.
Yep.
Hello. My husband maintains that putting clothes in a freezer will kill all the germs, all the bacteria, and all the odor. And I want to believe him, but there's just a little part of me that doesn't quite feel comfortable not laundering something and instead just using a freezer. I would love to know if this is actually a thing or not, so I can trust in the freezing of clothes as being a way to launder them.
Hey, Rachel.
Hello.
Rachel, I think for your question, we should get your husband on the line too.
I think that's probably fair.
What's his name?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Jeremiah, this is Flora from Every Little Thing.
Well, hello.
I'm here with your wife. You know each other.
Somewhat.
Jeremiah, how many items of clothing do you have in the freezer right now?
Oh, I'd have to go look.
Ballpark it for me.
Probably two.
What are they?
Well, no, just vintage bell bottoms and some jeans.
Vintage bell bottoms.
I have done this for quite a while now. Looking at things like vintage clothes sites and how to maintain vintage clothes. I have a pair of pants that I've had for like 25 years now.
Do you freeze them every night?
I keep them in the freezer. So that's where they go.
Not in your drawer?
No.
They live in the freezer?
Yep.
What do you do with like your frozen food?
Well, you have multiple freezers. We have, you know, the beverage freezer and the beverage fridge. So there you have extra space.
So Rachel, freezing clothes instead of laundering them, why not?
I just am dubious that it's effective, and I don't smell anything when we bring them out of the freezer, but I was just really wondering if it's for real.
Okay, Jolie, we have a family divided. Should I be swapping out my front loader for a chest freezer?
You should absolutely not. Rachel, this is your lucky day. I have good news for you. You are right, and Jeremiah is wrong.
Whoa, unequivocal.
Okay. Unequivocal.
Wait, I just feel it's really important to, like, is this getting recorded? Because I don't get this very often. I don't.
It's being recorded, and I will even attest to it in a court of law if it comes to that. Jeremiah, your heart is in the right place, but your pants are in the wrong place. The reason that you feel that it works is that indeed, when the previously smelly pants come out of the freezer, they do not smell. However, when you put them back on your body and your body heat warms all that bacteria back up, all of the malodor will return. So I'm very sorry to report that the freezing doesn't work. It would be great if it was true, right? But it's just not the way that the science of bacteria works.
They pause and then can.
That's right.
And then can come back.
That's right.
Jeremiah, what do you think?
That makes sense. Totally makes sense, since bacteria can live in, you know, basically space too. So
yeah, they can survive your freezer. Can you live with this answer?
I can.
I'm sure we'll hash this out a little bit more when we get home later. So
I'm very curious to hear what that conversation is going to be like.
It's going to be months of gloating.
Thank you both.
My pleasure.
Thank you guys.
After the break, a secret spray that can vanquish any odor.
That's also how NFL and NHL and MLB mascots are cleaned.
And here's a hint, it burns on the way down.
Thank you. Hey, ELT, this is Nikki Atkins from Newport, Oregon. You asked for cleaning facts or questions, and I have a trick that I swear by. I'm involved in multiple theater productions every year and always keep a small squirt bottle of what I call costumer's secret in my show bag. Between the nerves, the dancing, choreographed stage fights and stage lights and all that stuff, things can get a bit ripe in the dressing room. So after every show, I mist my costume gown with the costumer's secret to help keep it smelling fresh, and I swear it works gangbusters.
Hey, Nikki.
Hi, Flora.
So you're on the line with cleaning expert Jolie Kerr. Jolie, have you heard of the costumer's secret?
I sure have.
You have?
What's in that spray bottle?
What is in that spray bottle is vodka.
Yes.
Right? Is that right?
Yes, it is. Cheapest I can find.
I was going to say, the cheaper the better. Save the good stuff for drinking and the cheap stuff for spritzing.
Yes.
So does it work? Does spritzing stinky clothes with vodka kill the odor?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because it will kill bacteria. So we just talked about how freezing clothes doesn't really work because it doesn't kill bacteria. It just temporarily sort of suspends it. It's like bacteria purgatory. Whereas using vodka or white vinegar or even rubbing alcohol will actually kill the bacteria.
Awesome.
That's also how NFL and NHL and MLB mascots are cleaned. That would be how you would clean, say, Gritty, the Flyers mascot.
Since I have a cleaning expert on the line, I didn't know if it would be possible to ask her a question about something else I'm having trouble getting rid of the smell of.
Yeah.
Go for it. I'll see if I can help.
I process lingcod fin rays for my job, and
when
I'm working with them, lingcod fin rays.
Fish. Okay, fish.
Yes, fish.
Yes, okay.
And the smell will sink into my hands to the point where I can wash them, 14 times, and I still, if I put my fingers up to my face, my hands smell like lingcod, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for getting, stuff like that out of skin?
Dr. Bronner's is very, very good on odor elimination of all kinds. It's great in laundry. It's actually the thing I've recommended over the years, not infrequently. I get questions from people who have accidentally sent a pair of pants through the wash with a fish oil capsule in the pocket.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I just got a snort laugh out of you.
Yes, yes, I do snort.
And when that happens, I've said to them, well, just wash whatever it is using Dr. Bronner's, and the smell always comes right out. And so I should think that that would actually be the thing if you want to stock it in wherever you do your washing up at work.
I think I might do that.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jolie, we have another caller for you.
Hi, this is Vicki, and I want to know if it's true, my mother's myth, that hairspray, cheap hairspray, takes out ink pen marks on clothes. That's my burning emergency laundry question.
Hey, Vicki.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I'm good. So, does cheap hairspray take out pen? Is that your question?
Yes, that was my question, because my mother has my entire life. That has been her entire mantra, was that's the only thing that will get ink pen marks up close.
Vicki, have you tried it? Have you used this remedy?
Well, back in college, I did once, but all it did was bleed everywhere, thus making the one mark huge. So I never tried it after that.
Jolie, what do you think?
Well, your mother is right that cheap hairspray will work on an ink stain.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be that almost all hairspray formulas contained a fairly high concentration of alcohol, rubbing alcohol. Rubbing alcohol is the thing for ink stains. And so that's why hairspray used to be a go-to for an ink stain. And why these days the cheaper formulas are the ones that you would use, because the cheaper formulas are the ones that will still tend to use alcohol as an ingredient. Actually, you could just go straight to the source and use rubbing alcohol, which is even cheaper. Let's talk for a second about why you ended up having that ink stain spread. ink is a very weird outlier in the stain world in that it is not best treated immediately. Almost every stain is best treated if you can get to it straight away. That is not true of ink.
Wow. Well, that makes so much sense. It's interesting, though, a rubbing alcohol that we could have gone straight there. But I'm impressed. Now I'm going to put that in my arsenal for sure.
I have a question for you. Are you a lipstick wearer?
Yes. I'm a red lipstick wearer.
So I'm going to tell you one other thing. Rubbing alcohol will take red lipstick stains out of fabric.
Oh, that's great to know. I'm sitting here, and I know that I have, you know how you get lipstick on your fingers just in passing, moving my glasses or something like that, I might accidentally touch it. And so I have a habit of pulling my visor down in my car back and forth all day long. And I've gotten lipstick, little bitty stains on my visor in my car, so I'm going to try it.
Excellent.
Julie, is there any stain alcohol can't handle?
Basically safe on everything. With leather, the one thing that you want to worry about is using something that will strip moisture, which rubbing alcohol will. So when you're done cleaning leather, you just want to go over it with a leather conditioner to restore moisture.
Since you touched on leather, is it okay? Like, I have a leather ottoman and I have 4 Cocker Spaniels that are constantly rubbing their faces on all the furniture. Is it okay to, just with a mild detergent, to wash that leather, to clean it up and then moisturize it? Would that be all right?
Absolutely. It's a great thing to do.
What are your Cocker Spaniels' names?
Okay. We have the mother, Lily, who we call Diddy, and then we have the 3 kits, her 3 puppies. We kept them all. We have Olive, Milo, and Mo. It's like a house full of toddlers.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Jolie, we have a couple more quick questions for you. Are you ready for a lightning round?
Sure thing.
Hi, every little thing. My name is Mark Russell, and my question is about vinegar. And all over the internet says vinegar cleans everything. It does everything. It cleans, it kills mold, it removes stains, and I can't get it to do any of that. So I'm curious if I'm doing it wrong or if the vinegar conspiracy is a lie.
It's not true that it cleans everything. It cleans a lot of things.
Really?
It cleans a lot of things. Yes, it will kill mold. It won't kill things like staph, but it will kill a lot of bacteria, including mold and mildew.
Hi there. I've heard that you can get blood out of clothing with your own saliva. So if it's your blood, your saliva will get out, but no one else's. And I think it would be interesting to know if it is true.
True that it will take blood stains out, not true that it has to be yours. But maybe keep your saliva on your own blood stains.
I think let's make that rule.
Yeah.
Hey, Flora, this is Ben out in Arizona. And I was curious about using Coke to clean your toilet. So I figured I'd call the only person I would expect to know the answer.
Coke does work. The idea is that you pour it in the bowl, you leave it overnight, and you flush it. And it's the citric acid in Coke that that serves as a cleaner. If it gives you a little thrill to do it, by all means. But I think there are better things to use.
One last question. This one's from me. I feel like I live under a mountain, a carpet of animal fur. Just one cat. But it's a lot.
It's a lot, right?
What do I do?
Okay, I have the best trick for you. Get yourself a pair of rubber household gloves. Rubber is the natural enemy of fur.
Well, you mean like I would use to clean the floor or something?
Yeah, like dishwashing gloves.
Okay.
Yeah. Run them over the surface.
Of my cat.
Well, I mean, you could do the cat.
Go right to the source.
But like, you know, when your couch starts getting furry, when your duvet cover starts getting furry, rub your rubber begloved hand right over it. And what it will do is basically it will ball up the fur and make it into like a tumbleweed of fur that you can then just literally pick up and throw in the garbage. The easiest, cheapest, most lo-fi way.
I am so happy to know this.
Yeah. It's going to change your life.
Okay, I cannot wait to Marie Kondo all of my specialty cleaners out from under my sink and replace them with Smirnoff's rubbing alcohol and some rubber gloves.
I think that you're onto something with that. And I will say that also, to a large extent, you don't need a lot of the so-called specialty cleaners that are out there. Soap and water goes a very, very long way.
Jolie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really, really fun.
For more cleaning tips, check out Jolie's podcast, Ask a Clean Person. Thanks to everybody who called with cleanspiracies. We loved hearing them. And if you have a burning question that you cannot find the answer to, give us a ring. 833-RING-ELT. That's 833-RING-ELT.
This episode of Every Little Thing was produced by Aaron Reese, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Littman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors were Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored and mixed by Dara Hirsch. ELT is a Spotify original podcast. Please, mist me with vodka. Goodbye.